Hello there.
Hey, Robert Cohen here. How's it going?
Who am I speaking to?
Robert Miller.
Robert Miller, Bob Miller, the guy that emailed me. Hey, I am making an audio. I always audio record all my ministry calls, just so you know that.
Sure.
Yeah. How can I help you, Bob?
I am just returning the phone call. Just, he told me to give you a call, so I just want to have a good chat with you.
Yeah, this, let me be clear, because I talked to a lot of people. This is Bob who emailed me, and you were giving me some instruction on my street preaching, correct?
I wasn't really giving you instruction, I was just...
Well, you called it a rebuke.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be an instruction. And you know what? Proverbs says, a wise man loves a good rebuke and instruction, and only a scorner would reject that. So I actually... And I relayed that to you. I actually totally appreciate when someone reaches out and they have the right intentions with correction, instruction, because none of us are infallible. And so I absolutely love that. The problem comes in is when it's not biblical. So that's where it has to be a biblical correction and rebuke. It's kind of like if a police officer pulls you over and... You ask him, why'd you pull me over? And he says, I don't like the color of your car. And you go,
I agree 100%.
Yep. And you go, well, that's not illegal, right, sir? No, it's not. I just don't like it. So stop it. Well, or he pulls you over and he says, you blew that last stop sign. Now, he's got a good call, a good stop to correct you, save your life, save someone else's life. So I appreciate a good rebuke. But I think you and I disagree on what biblical street preaching actually is, Bob. Bob or Robert?
Okay.
Bob or Robert?
Robert works.
Robert.
Bob, either or.
Can I ask what state you're calling from?
I'm from Ohio.
Ohio. Yeah. And how did you find out about me?
I think I saw you on your video clips on Facebook, I believe.
Okay.
Or on the online. Your
okay.
Website.
Yeah, our website. We get out there. We get all around the globe. Praise God. We don't market it or anything. It's just me and my wife. My wife is the, she's the technical end. I couldn't do what I do without my helper because she's able to do all that stuff online for me. But we put it up there, and I'm amazed at where it goes.
Yeah, I would just like to, I mean, I'm not here, I'm not against you, I'd just like to know a little bit more about you. Can you tell me a little bit about where you grew up, or just tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, yeah, I mean, my whole testimony, you can hear it, it's right on our website. Go to the teaching blog and look up Brother James' testimony, or you can read about who we are, and it gives a short testimony. But my testimony, I love to preach my testimony. I'll give you my short version. I always teach people, you should know your testimony, and you should have a long version and a short version. So let's say you and I were going to sit down to dinner, and we had hours and hours, and we were getting to know each other. Well, you should have a long version, which means you could go into a lot more. And then you should also have a short version. So when you run into somebody in the street and they say, hey, give me an answer for the hope that lies within you, you're probably not going to have an hour and a half with them in the street. You're probably going to have, you know, it would be good to get your testimony down to a couple minutes. And so,
Amen. And
I always teach people to put the gospel in your testimony, whether it's long or short. So the testimony I would give you, since you asked, is I grew up in a unreligious home. My mother was a backslidden Roman Catholic. My father was an agnostic, although my five older brothers and sisters got pushed through Roman Catholic catechism. For some reason, my mom wanted me to go, even though she wasn't a churchgoer. That's just what Roman Catholics do. And it was amazing. They were much older than me. I grew up watching my brothers and sisters in the hippie age, smoking pot, poofing their hair up, acting really foolish. They were like 10 and 12 years older than me. And I'm like 8 years old looking at them going, these people are weird. What are they doing? And it got to be my turn to go to catechism. And my worldly agnostic father rose up against my mother, which never happened. She led the home. And he said, he's not going. And my mom said, what? She said, my dad said, he's not going to catechism. She's like, all the rest of them did. Why isn't he? He said, I'm just telling you, he's not going. And I believe, Robert, in the sovereignty of God, that God knew who I was. God knows his elect. And I believe God used my agnostic father to keep me from getting polluted, corrupted, and perverted by the Roman Catholic faith, because every one of my brothers and sisters and everyone I know that goes through the Roman Catechism ends up saying, yeah, Catholicism's full of a bunch of sin, pedophiles, man-made traditions, and they end up hating God. They end up hating God more than they get any truth from God because of the Roman Catholic Church. So my father spared me, which I'm forever grateful to God and whatever my dad part had in that. And I grew up a pagan, a heathen, an unregenerated, untaught young man, did every worldly sinful thing you could think of. When I was 18, I got invited to a church that was putting on what they call a revival. And because I liked the people that invited me, I was hanging out with them loosely, I said, I'll go. And I had never heard who Jesus Christ was my entire life, other than my dad using the name in vain about 20 times a day. I didn't know who Jesus was. And the world never made any sense to me. I should back up. When I was 12, my grandmother died, and she was everything to me at 12. And I remember going to her funeral, being a pallbearer, lowering her in the grave, and standing there crying. And I thought, the world means nothing to me. I don't understand this. How can this woman die? You go in the ground. There must be something more. Nobody had no answers for me. They were all religious, all backslidden. So I get to be 18. I go to this church. I heard an semblance of a gospel. I just heard that Jesus came into the world as the Son of God, and he died for your sin. And it started making sense to me about God sent us the answer. He sent us the truth. He sent us a messenger. But they were full of worldliness. The gospel wasn't biblical. They didn't call me out of my sin. And I left. I wasn't born again. And for the next 20 years, I mostly lived in the world, a sinful man, but forever changed by knowing who Christ was. Angry against man-made religion. That was my fault. I had several pastors totally jilt me, meaning the pastor that I told you about was worldly and carnal and wanted to take me for my money, the Pentecostal pastor. That's what he wanted, was my money. I got mad at that and left and held out against God because of that. 5 years later, I tried to go back to an evangelical church, and the pastor and I would play racquetball. I was a bodybuilder. Imagine that, vain, prideful man. I was a bodybuilder, and I would work out with the pastor and play racquetball. And he never wanted to talk about God. I had so many questions to ask him, and he never wanted to talk about God. He never wanted to share anything with me, and he turned me off to the things of God completely. My fault, but he definitely stumbled me. Turns out I left there. 2 years later, they caught him in his office with his church secretary having sex with her. So he was a wicked, false man. And so I went back into the world for 20 years. Working in business, getting an education, never being the same, but not being regenerated. When I was 45, I decided I'm done. Drinking, partying, working for business, buying stuff, owning houses, owning lands, having hobbies. None of it meant anything, and I knew I was a sinner headed for hell. I came to myself like the prodigal son, even though I wasn't born again, and I said, God, I'm done. I'm not running no more. I had always felt God had a call on my life to go do ministry, but I wasn't even born again. I didn't even know all of the truth, but I felt God calling me. So I came home one day and I told my wife, I'm done. She goes, what do you mean? I said, I'm done. I'm done with this life. She goes, I don't get what you're talking about. I said, I'm not going to live the way we do anymore. We're sinful. We're wicked. We're headed for hell. We're worldly. We're carnal. She goes, what do you mean? And my wife was a lifelong Lutheran. And she said, what do you mean? I go to church. I know God. And my wife will tell you, she tells all the women this, that she was a raging feminist. She basically hated men. And we had a terrible relationship up until this point. And I knew that. I knew that she hated men and that she wasn't going to listen to me. So she said, what do you mean? There's more. I go to church. I believe in God. And I looked at her and I said, Debbie, you must be born again by the Spirit of God. She said, what are you talking about? I said, you're not going to listen to me, but we have to repent and we have to be born again. And I told her, get a Bible and start reading for yourself. Because I didn't know anything what to do. I didn't know anything. And I knew that. And she got a Bible, started reading. I was reading my Bible. Within 2 weeks, We both were committed to the Lord, looked at each other and said, wow, we were on the road to hell. We were going to lose our souls. And she came back. I got to tell you this. She came back about a week later and was livid with me and yelling at me. And I said, what, you know, I don't know if she was born again at this point. I think she said that she believed she was, but she wasn't, you know, like, you know, yelling fleshly, but she was just angry, raising her voice, righteously angry at me. And I said, what are you so mad about? She goes, you knew this, didn't you, all this time? I said, knew what? She goes, you knew that we were on our road to hell and we were sinners and we needed to be born again. And I said, yeah, I did. And she's like, why didn't you tell me a long time ago? I never knew any of this stuff. I said, how could I tell you? I was a hypocrite. I hadn't come to myself. I didn't even know the whole truth of it. I said, I had to finally do it because I came to myself. So within 2 weeks, we were both born again. And for a short period of time, we looked at each other, didn't know what to do. And we said, well, I guess you go to church, right? I'm like, well, yeah. So we thought we'd go find a church. Well, we found a little Assembly of God church down the road. And we started studying our Bible, going to church on Sunday and Wednesday. And it only lasted about 4 months. We were dripping wet. And everything the Bible said to do, they weren't doing. And everything the Bible said not to do, they were doing. And we were miserable. And because we saw a dichotomy of the true New Testament body that we were striving for, because we set our minds to be Bereans, study the scriptures. And I went and talked to the pastor many times. And I said, why is this and this that and that's not that? And he said, well, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. And finally, we left a Wednesday night Bible study. They had asked, I was a farmer then. They asked me for a bunch of my animals for their trick or treat, their trunk and treat event. And I said, I was so green, Robert. I said, great. I said, I'll bring some chickens and my a couple horses. I said, we're going to hand out the gospel, right? And they're like, no. They're like, no, we're not handing out the gospel. That's going to offend people. We're just handing out candy.
Oh, my.
And I said, I want no part of it. A week later, I went to Bible study and I said to my pastor, I got to talk to you. I said, I got a lot of things raging in me. We got to talk. I've been asking you to talk. He said, I don't have time. I walked out dejected, didn't know what to do exactly. We loved all those people, thought we should be gathering with people. We walked out of the parking lot. My wife poked me in the ribs and said, turn around, look at. I said, what? She goes, look what he's too busy to do to not talk to you after 5-6 times you try to talk to him. Look what he's too busy to do. I said, what? We looked through the window. You know what he was doing, Robert?
Nope.
Putting up his pagan Christmas tree.
I see.
And I said, we're done. We left there. I called him and said, we're done. We rebuked a few in love. We rebuked a few of the people that we're close to. We actually were Bible studying with a couple outside of the church. And then we called him and we said, we can't keep doing this and you can't either. And we showed him in scripture all the things that were wrong. The feminism, the pagan holidays, Christmas, Easter, the paganism, the worldliness, the money taking, his wife leading all types of things. Nobody wanted to hear it. My wife and I looked at each other and we said, we're done with man-made religion. And from that point on, that was 15 years ago, we never, ever, ever, ever set foot in another religious place, except several times we went in to witness and we ended up getting thrown out. But from then on, we started going into the scriptures, becoming Bereans. We learned how our dress was unbiblical. Our ways were unbiblical. We learned all the theology we had that was wrong, Christmas and Easter. We learned our music was unbiblical. We learned how to become holy, godly saints because of the Spirit of God and the Word of God through repentance. As I told you about, we placed our faith in Christ. We were both born again. The fruit of our life has been holiness and obedience to the Word of God, testing everything like Bereans. And to this day, 15 years later, we are enduring in the faith every day. We stepped out of the culture. We stepped out of all man-made religion. And we believe that we are part of what's called the remnant, the ecclesia, however you want to say it, not the church systems. And then these are God's true set-apart saints that are few in the last days. Jesus said few will ever find eternal life in Matthew 7, and I preach this a lot. If you look up the word few, another word in English that describes that Greek word is puny. A puny number of people are going to find eternal life per Jesus. So that is the story of my wife and I, how we came from worldly, carnal, false religious people to a saving knowledge of Christ, and he by his word and his spirit have taught us. And we've had home fellowship on and off with all types of various people. Today, we know a handful of saints scattered all over the world that we have some fellowship with online because I travel full time to preach. But I'll end my testimony with this. We do not know, after all the years of preaching Christ crucified, his shed blood, death, burial, resurrection, by repentance you come to him and be born again by the Spirit of God. The fruit you're born again is holiness and obedience, and you strive and endure. Through all of that, we don't know one place where there's a building full of religious people that are keeping the full gospel, have come out of the world, don't keep worldly ways, and are striving in the true called out ways of the New Testament body. We don't know one. And before men tell me I'm crazy, I always say to them, show me one.
Uh-huh.
I get people all the time tell me you're crazy. You should belong to a good biblical church. And I say, where is it? We'll go visit it. In the years I've been doing it, no one offers, well, I shouldn't say that. People try to say, well, my church. And I go, which one is it? Oh, the Pentecostal United. And I go, no, let me show you why. And I show them in scripture why it's not biblical. And they walk away and go, oh, you're too picky. Well, no, I'm biblical. I'm holding out for biblical bodies. The Bible says we're not to unite with those that don't keep sound doctrine. We're supposed to mark. We're supposed to mark and avoid them, actually. That's what Romans 16:17 says. That's how you keep your house and your body pure, is you don't unite to false doctrine. And I do have one question. When people say I'm too picky about sins, how many sins did God allow before he threw man out of the garden?
Yeah, one sin.
That's what I would separate over you from. One sin. That's what you should separate over me for. One willful sin that I won't repent of. So that's my kind of in between long and short testimony. I can give it in a minute if I need to, but that's kind of my in between, and that's what I preach. That's what we live to do, to call people out of the culture and out of man-made religion. And I think that's where probably you and I differ. You know, let me say this before I give you your turn to share who you are. What I feel, I'm in America. I'm not in an atheist country. I'm not in a Muslim country. I'm not in a pagan African country. I'm in America. It's where God's called me. So far, I haven't gone outside. I've been outside America, but not to preach. This is where I am. I speak English. I'm an American citizen. I'm doing God's work right here where I'm called. And quite honestly, I think as America goes, the world's going to go. So I think being a missionary in America is really, really critical, because America may be part of, it's not what's holding it back, but America may be part of what is holding back some evil on this earth, only because of what God has allowed America to partake in. And that's closing quickly, but let me just say that. So I believe that I'm preaching in a situation between this. You had Jesus preaching to the religious Pharisees and eviscerating them. They were the people of God. They were the most moral people on earth, and they were supposed to be keeping his commandments, Torah law, at that time. And Jesus eviscerated them for their hypocrisy, for their false man-made traditions. He ripped them to shreds. No mercy. Then you got Paul walking into Mars Hill in Acts 17. The pagans said, hey, we've heard of you. Come talk to us. And he walks in there. He doesn't eviscerate them. He doesn't degrade them. He tells them, hey, you got an unknown God. I know who that unknown God is. And he tells them that the world crucified Christ and he died, and that God's calling everyone to repent. Now, I feel like my call is somewhere in between those two. And at times I have to rebuke modern pastors. Yep, I'm running into them all the time. They get the Matthew 23 rebuking because they're deceiving people. And then there's times that I get total pagan people that maybe have never heard of Christ. They don't even know the biblical gospel. They get more love and long-suffering and the call to repent and lose their lives to follow Christ. And then we instruct them in the doctrines. Most of the people I preach to are right in between. And here's who they are. The demographic I preach to is the either Sunday pew sitter or the person that was raised in evangelical or Catholic, but they no longer go to church. They know Christ. They know the commandments. they don't live them, they don't keep them, and they say, I believe in God, I'm going to heaven no matter how I live. That is the demographic of who I preach to. You don't know how many times people walk by and go, amen, as they put their thumb up and they got worldly Super Bowl party shirts on. They're dressed like gangbangers or harlots. They're smoking, they're drinking. They're going inside worldly movie theaters and they go, amen, we love Jesus. They don't know what sin is, Robert.
Amen. I know what you're talking about.
And that's why, going now, before we go to your story, that's why when you emailed me and said that I'm condemning people by teaching what sin is, no, I'm actually loving them, because I have people walking up to me smoking cigarettes with marijuana shirts on. So they think smoking tobacco and smoking marijuana is okay. And they're saying, oh, Jesus died for my sins, I'm going to heaven no matter what, dude. And if I don't tell them the truth and say, no, you're deceived, that modern pastor, that church system, that internet teacher, who's ever telling you that, you're deceived, sir. You got to repent and walk in holiness and lose your life and come out of all that sin. If I don't tell, if I don't tell them that, do I love them, Robert?
Nope.
So that's why I oppose your original email that says I'm condemning people. Condemnation is if I look at that guy smoking and I say, you're a wicked, worthless person, you're going to hell no matter what you do. That's condemnation. Preaching the truth is, sir, whether you claim Jesus or not, unless you turn and repent from your sin and your worldliness, you're going to be judged before a holy God. And if you don't repent, you're going to lose your soul. That's a loving warning. That's what the prophets did.
Amen. I agree with you. 100%.
And that's what Jesus did. And that's what Paul did. And that's what Peter did. So I think you got to really think about when you go to preach in the streets, who are you preaching to? And the vast demographic in America is either the churchgoer or the ex-churchgoer that knows about Jesus. They have a false, easy believe gospel, and they need to be woken up and told what sin is and flee from the wrath of God that's coming. Now, I do get an atheist here and there walks up. Now I modify my preaching. I don't expect an atheist to know all the things that a churchgoer knows. Now I preach Christ to him and say, you know, you can come, you can believe. God will take you where you are. He'll wash you, cleanse you, but you can't stay where you are in your unbelief. So Paul said, I become all things to all men to win people. And that's what I try to do. If I constantly get homosexuals coming up to me. They make out in front of me. They bait me. I don't go into homosexuality sex with them. I just say, you know what? That's a sin like any other sin. Lying, drunkenness, pastors with false gospels. You can repent of that and you can be cleansed and made new. And that's what I do. So we can talk about your email more. That's my story. Why don't you share with me? Why don't you share who you are?
I grew up Old Order Amish in a setting where